Today I'm going to talk about being zealous of good works. So I'm going to start, I want to start in 1 Corinthians 14. All the songs we did were wonderful about is it loving, is it kind, and that we, everything in our whole heart can be to praise. So we're going to see some of that today. So 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12 says, even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. The word gift there, you can see in King James that it's in italics. So it's supposed to be spiritual matters or spiritual things. So what kind of things is it talking about that we are to be zealous of? Well, those chapters, 12, 13, and 14, are all about the manifestations. In this chapter, it's especially about prophecy. But also, 1 Corinthians 13 just really sandwiches the whole thing together about everything we do needs to be in love. And love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's just one of the greatest chapters in the whole New Testament. But let's just zero in on what it means to seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Seek to excel means to, like, abound or overflow. Seek to excel. I just got back from being in North Carolina and seeing Stephen and Katie and the kids, and Sam is practicing with Stephen throwing a football, and he just seeks to excel at it. He does it over and over and over and over, trying to get it perfected. And even though he drops it sometimes and other things happen, there's a single-mindedness that he has to want to practice over and over. So we're to seek to excel to edifying, and that means to build up, to build inside. Seek that you may excel or abound to building up the church. So that's a wonderful work right there to think about, that we can actually do this. We can be zealous for spiritual matters. Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And this one I'm going to read from the Aramaic translation. For we are his own creation. Some versions have handiwork or things like that. We are his own creation, who are created in Jesus Christ for what? Good works. We're created in Christ for good works. Those works which God prepared previously that we should walk in. God actually has prepared the works for us to walk in. That's pretty astounding. I think you could meditate on that for a while. But we are created in Christ for good works. And it's talking about here, there are personal works that God has prepared, but there's also works for all his children to do. There's always good works. And then that's like G-O-O-D, good. The manifestations of the Spirit are one. Bob was mentioning about speaking and holding forth the word. Anything that is loving are all things that are considered good works. But I want to look at Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, because it says it again here. Who gave himself for us, talking about Christ, so that he could deliver us from all wickedness and would purify for himself a new people who are zealous in good works. Here, the idea of zealous means that we are uncompromising or totally committed. that's what the New Living Translation says in this verse, is totally committed for good works. And I also thought zeal has this idea of focus, and it's radical. It's like a laser beam where you zero in on something. It's not just like spreading it around randomly, but there's focus to zeal. And that focus is really radical, and it's uncompromising. So let's think about some of the works that every believer could be zealous of. And the first one I thought of, I mean, this is not an exhaustive list either. It's just some things that I thought we should zero in on this morning. The first one is prayer. And in Colossians chapter 4, starting in verse 12, it uses Epaphras as an example of someone who really was excellent and excelled in prayer. Verse 12, Epaphras greets you, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, laboring at all times for you in prayer, that you would stand mature ones and complete ones in all the will of God. For I witness about him that he has great zeal for you and for those who are in Laodicea and in Hierapolis. Epaphras is from Colossae. And Paul is saying, I'm telling you about this guy. He had great zeal. He had great zeal to continue always praying that you would become mature and complete. He was praying for people. And that's just a wonderful good work that we all can do. We can pray for our country. We can pray for our families. We can pray for all the needs that we see around us. But this is a great way to pray is that the people that we love and that we get to minister to would stand and become mature. So the second thing that I saw was about giving. And I want to turn to 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 1. It says, now concerning the service of the holy ones, it would be excessive if I wrote to you. For I know the goodness of your mind, and because of this, I boasted of you to the Macedonians that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has excited many. It is talking about how this is written to Corinth, to the Corinthians, and that's in Achaia, Greece. And they were ready a year ago to do a big gathering of giving. And Paul had boasted to the Macedonians that Greece was going to be an example of giving, and he was holding them up as this great example. So it excited many. I want to read it from the New Living Translation, this verse, because I think it shows some key things about how you can be zealous for giving. And it says, for I know how eager you are to help. That's really great. I know how eager you are to help. And I have been boasting to the churches in Macedonia that you in Greece were ready to send an offering a year ago. In fact, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many of the Macedonian believers to begin giving. So this kind of zeal that we're talking about here is enthusiasm. It's not only focused, but it has an eagerness about it. And it also stirs up others. The whole chapter of 2 Corinthians 9 is about giving, and it talks about giving your heart to the Lord first. And we purpose in our hearts, and we purpose to respond to God's goodness and his love and care for us, and the fact that he did give us Christ and everything that we have in Christ. So our hearts respond, and then we honor him by giving. So you can be enthusiastic. You can be kind of so-so about giving. I'm like, oh, okay, I have to give now. But if we do it with enthusiasm, then we're going to stir up others who want to give also. So I want to read another section of chapter 9 there, starting in verse 10, because this is the third thing I think that everyone can do is have thanksgiving. Verse 10, now he who gives seed to the sower and bread for food will give and will multiply your seed and will increase the fruit of your justification or your righteousness, so that you may be enriched in everything, in all simplicity, which means generosity, so that thanksgiving to God is completed by way of us. When we give generously and we give with enthusiasm, then God enriches us in everything. But the real thing that happens is that thanksgiving to God happens. And verse 12 goes on to explain that, because the work of this service not only supplies the needs of the holy ones, but also increases with much thanksgiving to God. When someone receives a gift, there's just an incredible thankfulness. And the thankfulness of the person giving also happens because their needs are met. So all around, there's this giant thing of thanksgiving. I just think it's really wonderful. And so it concludes there with the next three verses. For on account of the trial of this service, we glorify God that you have subjected yourself to the acknowledgement of the gospel of Christ, and that you have shared fully in your simplicity, your generosity, with them and with everyone. And they offer prayer for you with great love because of the abundance of the grace of God that is concerning you. Now, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Every day we wake up, we can just lift our hands and go, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because it's all about what God did in Christ for us. So I was reading a little blurb that how Hitchcock put on Facebook. We were talking about how God is the first mover and we're the first responders. We respond with giving enthusiastically because of God's goodness, and then what that issues and how it continues forward is that then our hearts are full of thankfulness, other people are thankful, and we have stirred up more givings, so that it can just be a cycle and continue on and on. Now, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. The fourth thing I wanted to talk about was also in that passage about the work of this service or the work of this giving. It's part of an act of service in the body. And sometimes we think about service being a drudgery or something like that, but it's not. It's actually our whole lifestyle can be based in service. So I want to look at Romans 12, and we'll read verses 1 and 2 first, so you can see about this. Therefore, I beg you, my brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy and acceptable sacrifice to God in reasonable service. Some other translations have worship even. Verse 2, and do not imitate this world, but be turned the other way by the renewal of your minds and distinguish what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Remember, we read the verse that God prepared the works for us to walk in. So beyond these things that I'm talking about today, there are personal works also that we can do that they distinguish the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But now let's jump down to verse 10, because this whole section here, which we don't read very often, has wonderful acts of service that we can do. Be compassionate to your brothers and love one another. Love never fails, right? Prefer one another in honor. Verse 11, be diligent and not lazy. Be fervent in spirit. Labor for your Lord. Verse 12, rejoice in your hope. Endure your trials and be steadfast in prayer. See, it includes some of the things we already talked about in here. But rejoice in your hope. Rejoice in your hope and endure your trials. That's not always so easy, but we continue to endeavor to do that and to help one another through any kind of trial. Verse 13, share toward the needs of the Holy One. Be compassionate to strangers. Bless your persecutors. Bless and do not curse. That's a good one to think about doing in this day and time. Verse 15, rejoice with those who are rejoicing and weep with those who are weeping. And what you think about yourself, also think about your brothers. And do not think with a proud mind, but associate with those who are meek. And do not be wise in your own mind. What you think about yourself, think about your brothers. That's kind of along the lines of do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Or love your neighbor as yourself. We are supposed to love ourselves. And when we see that we have good works to walk in that God has prepared for us, then what do we have to be discouraged about? We just need to get busy walking in them. All right, then now verse 19, or let's see, we have 17 here. And do not repay anyone evil things for evil things, but be diligent to do good things before all men. Be diligent is the same idea as being zealous. Be diligent to do good things. And if it is possible, according to what is in you, be at peace with everyone. And do not avenge yourselves, my beloved, but give place to anger. Like, don't get angry. For it is written, if you will not perform judgment for yourself, I will perform your judgment, says God. It's like King James is talking about, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Now, this verse 20 is a really interesting verse. And if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him drink. And if you do these things to him, you will heap coals of fire on his head. And let's just read the last verse too. Do not let evil things overcome you, but overcome evil things with good things. This section about heaping coals of fire on his head is actually taken from Proverbs 25 and verse 21 and 22. And it says there, just slightly different, if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water, for you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. So what it's talking about here, I mean, there's a lot of different ideas about what this means. Sometimes people explain it like if you heap coals of fire on a person's head, then if you're doing this to your enemy, you're feeding your enemy, then he will repent and change his mind and turn into being a friend. But that's not necessarily always what happens. If you feed your enemy, he doesn't necessarily turn towards you or, you know, get a pang in his conscience or something like that. But the the idea is that if we're angry about something or if we have an enemy, then we need to let God be the one who judges. We need to let God be the one who will do the avenging or take care of the problem, and not let evil things overcome us, but overcome evil with good. So instead of being angry, we should feed our enemy. There's a book called Strange Scriptures That Perplex the Western Mind, and it's by Barbara Bowen. And this is what she says about that heaping coals of fire. It means to feed an enemy and give him drink was like heaping the empty brazier or place where you had the fire with live coals, which meant food, warmth, and almost life itself to the person or home needing it. And it was a symbol of the finest generosity. So instead of being angry and hurtful and trying to take vengeance on ourselves, we are to go the extra mile and just see what even an enemy would need and then provide it for them, provide for his needs, and do it without any expectation that they're going to change or not change. Because Proverbs was saying there that the Lord will reward you. So it's all these different acts of service we can do. You can think of a lot more, but I just thought that that passage in Romans 12 was really wonderful summary of a lot of things that we can think about doing. And it ends with the idea of feeding your enemy and giving him drink no matter what. So the last one is just something we've talked about a lot, and that's praise. That song by Scott, everything within you to give him praise. There's a great verse in Hebrews 13, kind of summarizes some of the other things as well. Hebrews 13, verse 15. And by way of him, we should always offer up the sacrifices of praise to God, which is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Praise, sometimes I talk about praise, is where you stretch out your hand, you confess, you give thanks to God for he is great, he is good, he gave everything, he is the one who sent his son, he is the one who saved us, he is the one who gave us his love. We can't love without having the love that God has put in our hearts. It kind of all goes back to the idea that we can be zealous of the good works that God has prepared for us to walk in. And the last verse I wanted to share is Hebrews 10, verse 24. So we talked about some of the good works that we can be uncompromising on and totally committed to, our prayer, giving, thanksgiving, acts of service, and now praise. Hebrews 10, 24. And let us take thought of how to spur one another on to love and good works. That's the NET version of Hebrews 10. King James says, let's provoke one another to love and good works. So that's what I'm doing today. I'm provoking me as well as you to think about what are the good works that I can walk in today. What are the things that I can do, I can say, I can speak, I can share that will glorify God. So I'd like to just close with prayer. Father, you are so good. You are so good to us all the time in every single way, not only in what you have done for us, but how you remind us that we are going to be your children. It's we can't lose it. It's It's something that will stay forever, and we will be able to be with you forever in fellowship with you and in partnership with you. So, Father, help us to know even more what we should do and to focus our hearts and our minds on doing those good works that you have prepared for us to do. So thank you for this opportunity to be together today and to share your word, your matchless word. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen.